We're going to start a brand new series today called Next Level, and I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5, Matthew chapter number 5. For the month of July, we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 5, looking at the second half of the chapter to see some things that Jesus taught. And Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, basically says, hey, I know what you've heard, but I want to take that to the next level. We're going to take it to the next level. And so one of the interesting things here is Jesus is giving the true intent for the commands that they have already heard and known, the heart behind it. And he wants to explain it to them, because for a lot of these things, they were just kind of going through the motions. And so Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. We need to level up, take it to the next level. And this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. So let's begin in verse number 21 of Matthew chapter number 5. He says this, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Truly I say unto you, you shall by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us, a day to stop and to celebrate the independence of our nation, Lord. And God, first of all, we recognize that the United States of America is not a perfect nation. There are no perfect nations. We all here understand that there are problems, there are issues. But God, even with the problems and the issues, we can recognize the good in our nation. And we can stop and we can give thanks. And God, I pray that you would protect those right now who are working and fighting so that we can remain a free nation. And I pray that you would bless them today. Lord, be with the people who have gathered together in person and online to spend some time worshiping you on this holiday. Lord, bless them for putting you first in what they're doing today. May you speak to our hearts. God, we know there's some here, there's some watching online that may not know Jesus as their Savior. They may not be sure about their relationship with God. And I pray that today would be the day where they'd not just celebrate freedom as a country, but Lord, freedom from sin and the penalty of it that can only be found in Jesus and what he's done. So Lord, may they believe in the work of Jesus and be saved today. And God, as Christians, I pray that you would help us to evaluate the way that we live our lives. And Lord, this morning, as we talk about forgiveness, I pray that you would help us to take our forgiveness to the next level. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And this is one of the reasons I'm so glad to be back here, because when I go speak somewhere else, most of the places I go to speak are not used to having a conversation with whoever's speaking. So like, I remember not long ago, I was up preaching for a friend of mine, and I asked a question, you know, wanting a response like I'm going to do in just a minute. So for those of you that are new around here, whether you're in person or watching online, most questions I ask you, I literally want you to like raise your hand and talk to me, okay? But I went there, and I asked a question, and it was crickets. So I had to learn, like, okay, people aren't used to that, you can't do that. So I'm glad to be back and actually have a conversation with you. All right, but the question I want to ask you, it was funny. I was listening to Jason's message last week about reading books. Like, put the video games down and read books. And I was laughing so hard because as I was listening, I was like, this is our series. Like, dude is preaching against my next series. So forget everything you heard about reading books last week. Put the books down this month. Pick the video games up. No, I'm just teasing. I enjoyed that message, but I was laughing so hard because we're talking about video games, right? And the question I want to ask you is, what's a video game that maybe you grew up on or you really enjoy playing, but it's all about levels? Like, you got to complete a level, and the next level gets harder, and you got to complete that. Anybody have some video games that you really enjoyed? I know Cameron has an answer. All right, I think I know what Cameron's going to say, because we talked about this a little bit. Cameron, what's your video game? All right, Sonic. Either one of those is Sonic. So he loves Sonic the Hedgehog, loves playing that. All right, somebody else, who has a game? Yes, Wendy. Pac-Man, yes, you got to beat the little things, you know, eat the little pellets or whatever, don't get eaten by the ghosts, move on to the next level, yes. Tetris, yes. Any other Tetris fans in here? Where's my Tetris fans? Okay, so we have a few of them. Ben, in the back. Skyrim. I've not played that. I'm a little familiar with it. Okay, yes. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. That is going back a little bit ways. I did play that. That was a lot of fun. Thomas.
Mario Kart.
Okay, got to beat those levels. Yes, sir. Donkey Kong, yes, climb up there. Don't get hit by the barrels. Yes, sir. You like to play Fortnite. Awesome. So we have all these different games. Yeah, Grayson, you have one? New Super Mario Brothers Wii. So he's got that game that he really enjoys. So many different variations of Mario they have out now. Tuesday, we went whitewater rafting, and it was a lot of fun. And one of the things they do is they fill up a raft. Like, there was 11 of us in our group between our family and the Beasleys, and they had a few more seats left to fill, so they put three people with us. They were from Britain. And I'm sorry we won the war. I'm not sorry we won the war, but but they were so nice, very friendly. It was a mom, and she had her two sons with her, and they were in their 20s, and the sons were. And so we're talking a little bit. I forget how the Oregon Trail thing came up. We kind of played a variation of that on our vacation. And somehow Oregon Trail came up, and Dusty was asking them, like, do you know what Oregon Trail is? And one of the kids was like, he's like, yes! He's like, I've played that on my retro games. And I'm like, retro games? Like, how bad does that hurt when it's like the games you grew up on, they're like, those are retro now. Like, I'll never forget the first time, the sting in my heart, the first time I was listening to an oldie station and they played a song that was current when I was a teenager. I was like, man, that hurts. I don't know how to ever get over that. Okay, getting back to video games. So, my dad and mom got us a Sega Genesis for Christmas one year. We were teenagers. And I remember Sonic was my game, Cameron. And we had that, like, connection with Sonic. And, you know, you'd play these levels. You start off, and, like, you're doing okay. And then you get to a level that it's just so hard. Like, every level gets a little bit harder. And you get to a point where you, like, played this level, like, 100 times. Like, there were times I would have to, like, put the controller down, maybe not so gently. Put the controller down, shut it off, have to walk away. Like this thing's making me mad. Because I can't beat it's too hard. Like, I'm not. But the first time you, like, beat the game, and you never forget that sense of accomplishment here. And just like levels in Sonic, Mario, Tetris, whatever else, took things kind of a step up, Jesus has some things that he wants us to take to the next level. Here in Matthew chapter number 5, in this second half, he talks about the fact that, hey, you have heard. And then he makes this statement, but I say unto you. And there's actually six things that we're going to look at over the next few weeks together. But he says, hey, I want you to take it to the next level. Now, today what we're going to talk about is taking forgiveness to the next level. And one of the things Jesus does here in Matthew chapter number 5 is he starts by encouraging us to give forgiveness. So we need to give forgiveness. Look at Matthew 5 verse number 21. It says this, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time," hey, the retro thing you've heard, "is you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." Now the judgment there is referring to the local courts. So it'd be like going down to the local Linn County courthouse or whatever else. So if you kill, that's the court you're going to go through. Now, that's what you've heard from old time. So let's think of the Ten Commandments for just a second here. Who remembers the first commandment? What's the first commandment? Somebody remember? Anybody remember? Yes. No, that's not. That is one of the commands. That's not the first one. Yes. Yes, first commandment is no other gods before me. Okay, then he says command number 2, don't have any graven images. Don't make an image and worship it like it's God, even if it is supposed to be an image of God. He says don't take God's name in vain. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number 5, as Francis mentioned, honor your father and your mother. Then we have command number 6, which is do not kill. Okay, thou shalt not kill. 7, don't commit adultery. 8, don't steal. 9, don't lie. 10, don't covet. So they've had these commands that have been passed down from Moses. He says, hey, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. And most of us in here would agree that's a pretty good command. Okay? Now, I won't ask you to show your hands, but I want you to think in your heart and answer this question. Have you ever physically killed someone before? Okay? It's either yes or no. And then there's the reason why. Okay? So, if you've killed somebody in here, I don't want to know about it. Okay? Don't tell me about it. Don't come up and whisper it to me late. I don't want to know. Okay? All right. So most of us think that's a great thing. Thou shalt not kill. And what Jesus is telling them here, hey, you know, there's a penalty for that, okay? You've heard that. If you kill, this is the repercussions for that. You're going to have to go and answer for it, and then punishment is going to be met down. Then what Jesus does is he takes what they've been taught to the next level. Notice verse number 22. Okay, that's what you've heard, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So before it was, hey, if you kill, you'll be in danger of the judgment. Now he says, if you are angry with somebody, and there's a little qualifier here, without a cause. Because remember, Ephesians, what is it, 4:26 or whatever, says be angry and sin not. So just being angry is not sin. But he reflects here, angry without a cause. And unfortunately, you and I do not get to decide if it has the right cause or not. Traffic. Let's talk traffic for a second. Because this is like, I've like killed so many people in my heart because of traffic. Like, I've ran so many people over. We went all the way out to San Francisco, and then we're driving the coast up to Washington State. And on Highway 1, and then we got on 101, it's like it's a two-lane road. And in a lot of these two-lane roads out there, because there's not a lot of times a passing lane, they will make like little turnoffs. And if you're going slower than the person behind you, you're supposed to turn off so they can pass you, and then you can go on your slow little turtle way. And I remember we were driving this road, and there was this car in front of me. They weren't even close to going the speed limit. And it's a windy road. Like, I get it. Like, but at least drive the speed limit and turn off after turn off. And they just kept going past the turn off, past the turn off, past the turn off. And I'm just like, I'm angry. Like, I am furious inside. It's a good thing I wasn't preaching this that day or that week. But That's one of those things. Like, that's not a right cause to get angry with someone, is traffic. And just because it upsets me does not give me the right to say that's a just cause to be angry with someone. Like, I recognize when I get angry in those moments, that's sin. Like, that's not a good reason to get angry. When people are being mistreated, that is a good reason to get angry. But just because they're not going as fast as I want them to go down the road does not give me a reason to be angry. And so Jesus says, hey, we need to take this forgiveness to the next level, right? We need to forgive people for the mistakes that they make. We need to forgive people for maybe not living up to the standards that we want them to live up to. Just because I want that person to go that fast doesn't mean they have to go that fast. Maybe they were a little older. Maybe they had a hard time seeing. Whatever the reason, like, they had a reason for going as slow as they were. Like, I need to have some compassion on that person. And so he states here, hey, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, then you will be in danger of the judgment. In other words, the penalty, right, is the same for both of those things. He said, this is what you've heard. If you kill somebody, you're in danger of the judgment. You're going to have to go to that local court. Jesus says, no, we're going to up the ante here. Because not just if you kill somebody, it's, hey, if you're angry without a cause, then you're going to have to go to that local court. Like, you're guilty. He looks at them as their equals. And so one of the things we could go, I asked you the question, have you ever physically killed somebody? You may or may not have. And there, if you have, there's multiple different reasons, war and whatever else that may be a reason for that. Okay? Very few of us, I hope very few of us in here would say, yes, I've killed somebody. Now let's ask the question, and I'm not going to ask you to answer, because I know what the answer is. Like, I know the answer is yes already. How many of you have been angry with somebody without a cause? And I know I have. I know I have almost every day. Okay? So he's saying, we're taking it up a level. It's not just about not physically killing anybody. No, you need to take it up another level. Like, you got to learn to forgive people. And so he talks about this anger in our heart, and anger is something that happens on the inside, and then we act based on that anger. So we may physically do something because we are angry, or we may say things because we are angry. And so one of the things that Jesus does here, you know, think about Moses or Cain. Okay, they got angry for whatever reason and killed somebody. Remember, Moses killed the Egyptian, Cain killed his brother Abel. Like, it's the anger inside of us that causes the action. And so Jesus is saying, let's go a little bit deeper here. Because it's not just about going through the motions, is about what's going on in here. Like, this is what really matters. And so sometimes it's a physical action, like killing somebody. Sometimes it might be words that we say in anger. So what is something, I want you to share with the rest of us, what's something mean that somebody has said to you? Like, somebody said this to me, it was mean. Don't share with me who, I don't want to know who. But what's something mean somebody has said to you personally? Anybody want to share with us? Yes, Violet.
You're a brat.
A brat? Okay, so your mom said that to you? And then, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we're not supposed to share. That's right. All right, Janice. Okay.
So then I have not seen her, or I have not been to her house in 10 years now.
So for those watching online, Janice's friend said, hey, I don't want you coming around anymore. I don't want you here anymore. Man, that's a mean thing to say. All right, somebody else. What's something mean that somebody has said to you? Yes. That you're incompetent, right? That's a hurtful thing to say. You're incompetent. Sometimes people call maybe it's just a name they call you. So Osterkamp, what a fun name that is. I remember one time somebody calling me Ostercrap. You remember that? Oh yeah, laugh at my pain. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. People can make up all kinds of things based upon maybe somebody's name, how you look, or whatever else. But Jesus wants us to understand that, hey, our words matter. Like, what you say matters. And if in anger you are saying things that you shouldn't, that matters. Just as much, now the repercussions are probably going to be different, but it matters just as much if you are to physically do something to somebody. Look at verse 22. It says, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, question. I want you to raise your hand. How many of you go around saying Raca? Nobody. You guys are awesome. That's great. This is one of those things where I'm just like, why did they give us the Aramaic word and not just tell us what it, like, I had to look up what it means. Anybody else know what that word means? You looked it up before? Yeah. Fool is next, but yeah. Yeah, the empty head, worthless. Okay, worthless is kind of the word that we, the idea of worthless is what it means. So he says, hey, if you call somebody worthless, you are in danger of the council. Okay, so we're moving beyond, you have this anger in your heart, and because of that, you speak some words. And men, there's been a lot of us that have spoken some words in traffic to the person in front of us because of the anger in our hearts. My daughter's laughing because they're thinking about words that I said while we were driving down the road. But he says, hey, if you call somebody worthless, you are in danger of the council. Now, what he's talking about there is the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the highest court in the land. This is not just some small-time thing. He said, we are taking this, you call somebody worthless, we are taking this to the Supreme Court. That's where we're going with this. That's how serious of an offense this is. Then he says this, if you call somebody a fool, as Pastor Plotinus mentioned, you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. A couple years ago, I did a series on hell, and one of the things I shared with you is that there are different words in the Hebrew and the Greek for hell that are all translated hell. And each one of them means something, has a little bit different connotation. The hell here is referring to Gehenna. And Gehenna was a place where the children of Israel would offer their children and sacrifice them to Molech. And later on, it became like a dump where they would burn dead bodies and trash and all kinds of stuff. It was constantly burning with fire. And so Jesus used it as an illustration of eternal judgment. He says, if you call somebody fool, you are in danger of eternal judgment. That's what he's saying. And one of the things Jesus wants us to understand is, rather than striking out in anger, we need to go next level and give forgiveness. You say, but you don't understand what they said to me, and that got me angry, and so then I said, and then I did. No, that doesn't matter. Like, we're to offer forgiveness. Think about what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you understand that because of what Jesus did for you, God has forgiven you of everything? Everything. Now, if you're here today and you've not trusted in Jesus, God wants to forgive you of everything. Price has already been paid. He wants to forgive you. You need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. If you have believed in Jesus, you've decided to follow him. Listen, everything that you've ever done, everything that you ever will do is forgiven. Do you understand that? And you know what that means for me? If God forgave me all of that, there's nothing that I can't forgive somebody else for. I need to take my forgiveness to the next level. You need to take your forgiveness to the next level. So Jesus says, hey, you need to give forgiveness. Don't strike out. Don't get angry. Forgive. Then he says, not only are we to give forgiveness, but we are to get forgiveness. Notice what he says in verse number 23 here. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So one of the things that he's talking about, he's giving them an illustration. We're going to the temple. We're going to offer these gifts. We're going to worship. Which, hey, we ought to gather for worship. Like, that's clear in the scripture. We ought to gather for worship like you're gathering now. And the idea behind it is in person. Like, I'm glad we have those who are watching online. We put that out there to be a help when people can't be here. But if you can be here, you should be here. Okay, we believe it's a good thing, and it's a commanded thing. But Jesus says there's some things more important than worshiping together even. And one of those things that's more important is getting forgiveness. So he says, hey, you're going to worship. You're going to bring your gifts. And while you're there, you remember that somebody has something against you. He says they have aught against you. In other words, you have done something to somebody else. You have said something to somebody else that you should not have. Whether it was what you said, how you said it, what you did, whatever. You remember this person has something against you. He doesn't say, well, offer your sacrifice, and as soon as you can, then go back and work things out. Then go back and get forgiveness, seek forgiveness. No. What does he say? He says, leave your gift there. Like, stop what you're doing. And some of you, this is the time you need to walk out of the building. Or this is the time you need to grab that person that's sitting near you and say, listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. He says, if you remember, stop the worshiping. Stop what you're doing and go take care of that. Because if your relationship with people isn't right, your relationship with God will never be right. So if I've done something, he says, I need to get forgiveness. Like, I need to go and own. And that's the thing. This person recognizes they've done something. They've said something. And for some of us, that's a hard thing for us to own what we've done. You will never get forgiveness until you've owned what you've done. And we all know those people that are always making excuses. Like, it's never them. It doesn't matter what they've said, what they've done. It's never their fault. Like, it's your, like, you said this, you did this, and so that's why I respond. No, that's not. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. What matters is your actions. What matters is my words, my actions. That's what matters. And so we need to own what it is that we've done to people. We need to own what it is that we've said to somebody. And if I am not right with my wife, I am not right with God. If I am not right with my children, I am not right with God. If I'm not right with you as my fellow Christians, I am not right with God. Think about what John wrote. He said, if you can't love your brother who you can see, what makes you think you can love God who you cannot see? Man, our world, our society is full of so much hate, so much anger, so much division. If you cannot get, if you're a Republican and you cannot get, have peace with a Democrat and you're holding that against them, you're not right with God. If you're looking at somebody of another race and because of that you can't get along with them, you are not right with God. You can sit in this church every service we have, you are not right with God. It doesn't matter. He says you need to forget about all that. You have aught against somebody. They have aught against you. Stop what you're doing. Leave the church house. Go take care of that before you come back here and try to worship God. Go take care of it. And so he says we need to get that forgiveness. Continuing in verse number 25, Jesus says this, agree with your adversary quickly. And he kind of continues the thought process that, hey, if you are in worship and you remember, stop worshiping and go take care of it. Why? Because you need to agree with them quickly. And you notice what he says, agree with your, what's the word?
Adversary.
In other words, that word has within it, built within, I'm in conflict with somebody. For whatever reason, there's conflict there. Now, according to context of the verse, the reason there's conflict is because of me, is because of you. Like, I am the problem. You are the problem, according to what's taking place here. So, he says, you need to go to your adversary quickly. Whoever it is that has aught against you, you need to go to them quickly, he says, while you are in the way, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Truly I say unto you, you shall by no means come out thence until you have paid the uttermost farthing. And so he tells us here that, hey, you need to go quickly. If you've wronged somebody, the idea is that if I know I've done something wrong, I need to seek forgiveness as quickly as I possibly can. And we've all had those moments where we've said something and it was like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Like, you just know, like right away. That's the moment to get forgiveness. As quickly as we possibly can, that's when I need to go seek forgiveness. And Jesus says, hey, you need to take and deal with that quickly. You know, think about the paying bills. Because it's a holiday, and who doesn't want to think about paying bills, right? There's basically two kinds of people. There's those that the bill comes, and you pay it as quickly as you can. Some of us in here, we want to pay it so quickly, we have auto pay for what we can have auto pay. And it just, we don't have to think about it anymore. It just comes right out, bills paid. Some of those things are not. Some bills come to the house. As soon as they come, we want to pay them. Then you have the people that it's like, they don't think about auto pay. And when the bills come, it's just like, whenever they get paid, they get paid. And sometimes that means late fees and fines and all kinds of stuff, right? Now my wife, she's the one who pays the bills in our house. And she wants to pay him as quickly as possible. That bill comes in, like she's dying until she can write the check and get it gone. While we were out in San Francisco, we were crossing the bridge to go into San Mateo, which is right near San Francisco, and they didn't have a place to pay a toll. Okay, it was either you had a pass, pre-purchased pass that would scan and pay the toll. Or you had to drive by where they could take a picture of your license plate and then they would send you a bill for the toll. So that was a couple weeks ago that we went through this toll. And so when we got home, you know, you're going through the mountain of mail that we had, and in there was State of California. Like, you got a bill. $6 for this toll. It's not a big bill, right? $6. So I opened it up, and I set it on the counter where my wife could see it, and I told her, I said, the toll came in, the bill for the toll came in, so we need to get that, you know, just so you can take care of it. And she's like, got it. We got in that afternoon, and so it was dinner time, making dinner. I go to throw something away, and in the garbage, like, I see the bill for the toll. And she's standing right there, and I said, You paid this already? She's like, no. She, gathering things up, just threw it away. And you know, that's, eventually the state of California is going to come looking for me for that $6. Plus whatever fees, like California, like it'd be hundreds of dollars of fees because you didn't pay the $6. But that's what some of us do instead of owning up to how we've hurt people. We just kind of throw it away. We throw it away. We don't take care of our words that we've said to people. We don't own the things that we've done to people. We just kind of throw it away, and then that's your problem. It's for you to worry about. Jesus said, no, that's not the way it works. It's time to take this forgiveness thing to the next level. It's time for you to own what you say. Time for you to own what you do and get forgiveness. And not just whenever you get around to it. He said, hey, agree with them quickly. So take your forgiveness to the next level. Both on the way that you give forgiveness and the way that you get forgiveness. So I want you to stop and think and just for just a minute, okay? Is there anyone that you need to give forgiveness to today? Somebody said something, somebody did something, and for whatever reason you're holding on to that, you're not giving forgiveness. It's time to give forgiveness today. Maybe you're here today and giving forgiveness is not the issue. Maybe for you it's getting forgiveness. And you are the one that's wronged somebody else. You are the one who said the hurtful thing, that did the hurtful thing, and you've just kind of thrown that away. It's time to dig through your garbage. Pull that thing out that you said that you did and take care of it. That's what Jesus is commanding us to do. Think about what he says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Truly I say unto you, you shall by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. Jesus is not looking for status quo followers. He's not. He's looking for followers that are ready to go to the next level. Let's take our forgiveness to the next level today.